KCRW sponsors include Netflix presenting The Gentlemen from Guy Ritchie, starring Theo James, Kaya Scodelario, and Daniel Ings. The playlist says The Gentlemen is filled with style, panache, and laughs. The Gentlemen, consider a new class of comedy.
It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. We could say the show Hacks is about a number of things. Provisionally, of course, about Deborah Vance, a veteran comic looking to stay relevant, and her relationship with Ava, a young comedy writer looking for validation and a way to make a living. But I think it's also a show about truth and honesty and betrayal. And mostly, it's a show, I think, about appetites. One of the award-winning creators and writers and exec producers of the show, Jen Statsky, is here to talk about it. First of all, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
But it is a show about truth and honesty and betrayal so often, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's very much so about truth and betrayal, both in their Deborah and Ava's personal lives and then also in the work. You know, so much of what we talk about, especially with Deborah and her stand-up that Ava helps her craft, is the truth and talking about your truth. And, you know, that is something that we've time and time again kind of had Ava push Deborah to confront and reveal and be more honest in her work and get to a point where, you know, that honesty is ultimately really rewarding for her because the work becomes better and it becomes richer and more her. So yeah, it is very much so about truth and betrayal. And then obviously betrayal being, you know, there's a lot of betrayal that goes around between these characters. Deborah is someone who has kind of this betrayal from her sister that is her primary trauma that she's been dealing with for her entire life. So yeah, very much so about truth and betrayal.
But it's also this rare thing, a comedy about appetite, about hunger. It's really a show about ambition.
Yeah, when Lucia Agnello and Paul W. Downs, my co-creators of the show, and I were talking about the show initially, very much so one of the first defining qualities of Deborah that we knew would be present in her character was that she was this shark. She was someone who always kept going, always needed more, always like a crazy workhorse. And yeah, that's something we've always wanted to explore with this show, is like the tremendous amount of work that this industry demands of you and how you have to keep working, keep fighting to get your place in this industry, especially if you are someone that has not been kind of the traditional person that the industry has welcomed in.
So much of the show, and it really sort of, I think, coming to the fore in this season, is about people saying one thing about her and sort of running Deborah down. But then when they come in a room with her, she's a star. And so often in TV shows, even in movies, getting somebody to play a star, when that person shows up, you kind of go, oh, that's the star. But Jean Smart is the star who can play a star. And you have to know how unusual that is.
Yes. You know, one of the things that people said, and they still say, is like movies and shows about show business are really difficult, like you're saying, because you have to believe that this person is a star. In our case, you have to believe that this person is an incredibly successful stand-up, which in some ways is even harder than saying, oh, they're a successful actor, you know, because you have to prove that they can seem comfortable and funny on stage. And so casting this show, you know, Jean was our number one choice. It was always like, well, if we could get Jean, then this could actually maybe work. I'm not a religious person, but in the last, you know, 10 years or so, I've really thought a lot about energy and people's energy. And I do strongly believe in energy. And there's some people that just have, for lack of a better term, you know, this star energy. And Jean is that. People gravitate towards her. She's in a room and people want to be talking to her and people want to be near her. And she has that in spades. And so it was really easy to believe that she was this tremendous big stand-up star. And also, you know, she's so funny, so naturally gifted and funny in her bones, just both on camera and as a person in her own life, that it was easy to believe she was a comedian. But yeah, that was certainly something we were nervous going into the show before it was cast, about how can we, you know, sell that this person is a famous stand-up.
I guess, too, what's fascinating to me about the show in this season is that in each episode, there is a truth that's kind of exploded. There's a particular episode with Deborah's daughter that could, in so many ways, have been played for one or two notes. And all these plates are spinning so perfectly. And still that kind of constancy of anxiety, which can, as you know, sort of like take the laughs out of something. that episode strikes me, and I'm trying not to give too much away here, as a particularly hard one to have pulled off.
It's an episode where Deborah's daughter, DJ, asks her to come to her recovery meeting, her NA recovery meeting, in exchange for performing at Deborah's roast. And yeah, we, you know, kind of the North Star with this show is we always want to be funny first. We are a comedy.
Thank God.
we all love comedy, and we all, you know, came up in comedy, and we take it like as a really, not to sound too overly serious, ironically, but we take it as a big responsibility, the opportunity to make people laugh and give them that release during their day. And so it's got to be funny first, but we always wanted to make sure that we were kind of revealing some truth and grounded truth about the world and people also in our stories. And that episode is an example of hopefully doing exactly that. It's so funny, especially because Caitlin Olsen is, you know, one of the funniest people walking the planet, but it also is really heartbreaking and tells the truth about this relationship between a mother and daughter that has been really fraught. And I have to give credit to our cast on that one, because that was always the intention of the show, that it would be hard, funny, and then also really emotionally grounded and kind of give you moments that hopefully, you know, choke you up and really make you feel something. But you can put that on the page, and if you don't have actors who are incredibly nuanced in their performance, it really doesn't work. And so I have to give credit to Gene and to Hannah and Carl and Caitlin Olsen and Paul and Meg and everybody, because it is really a testament to the acting. Because if you don't have actors who can deliver that, it just, you know, I think we've all seen shows that are trying to blend tones and it doesn't quite work. And I think you just, you need to be kind of firing on all cylinders for it to work. And we're really lucky to have the cast that we do.
Each episode is about a sense of place. We got to see it last season where they're moving around and she's reclaiming herself as a stand-up. And I want to talk to you about how important place is in the show.
You know, we very much so, when we said that Vegas will be this character in the show, and we wanted to depict it in a way that hopefully you hadn't really seen before. You know, Vegas is a beautiful city. We love Vegas. It looks so gorgeous at night, and it's been photographed in so many ways where it kind of, the opulence of it is highlighted, but there's kind of an emptiness and an absence to it too that is less captured, and the kind of more in the daytime, in the sunlight, in the hot Vegas sun, that was also the Vegas that we wanted to capture. And so it's a city that contains multitudes that has maybe only been depicted in kind of one certain way in pop culture, for the most part. And so we really wanted to dive into it and show all these different facets of the city in a way that felt new and fresh to people. The show jumps around to, you know, we're in Los Angeles a lot, and we have it's a certain view of Los Angeles that is through kind of more Ava's lens. And the premiere episode this season is in Montreal. So yeah, the locations and the way they are shot and the way they are depicted is a very important commentary on what we're saying on these people vis-a-vis the places where they live or visit.
It's the treatment. We're talking topography with my guest, Jen Statsky. She's one of the creators and exec producers and writers of the show Hacks, which is having its third season on Max. You can also hear The Treatment at kcrw.com/The Treatment. But we are talking about self-awareness because we haven't talked enough about what the show's about in these grand terms. And the last episode of this season drives home for me the kind of mother-daughter relationship between Deborah and Ava, just because it's kind of like the episode with Deborah and DJ. Both DJ and Ava think that they know Deborah, and they come to know her in ways, in one way that's healing, and another way that sort of gives somebody the impetus to move forward and make a decision about how she's going to move forward with her life. And I think having those mirrors and that constancy of mirrors in this season is really fascinating to me.
We really think of this show as being about partnerships and duos and two people working together or existing together. And every relationship on this show, I think, in some ways is a mirror of other relationships. It's interesting. Like, a lot of times people will say that it's a mother-daughter relationship or mother-daughter-esque relationship. But what's interesting is when we were developing the show is, like, we never really considered Ava Deborah to be mother-daughter And I mean, we still don't really. They are of the age where that makes sense. But to us, their relationship is so much heavily based in the work and speaking this specific language around the work and kind of like lighting each other up creatively. That to us, and maybe it's just because it's a relationship that we specifically, Lucia, Paul, and myself have lived as creative collaborators. To us, it is so specifically that relationship and that type of relationship that mother-daughter doesn't really come into it for us. But to your point, the DJ-Deborah relationship, there are certainly aspects of that that are missing, that do exist in the Ava-Deborah relationship, that give Deborah something she can't get from her daughter. I also think, you know, Jimmy and Kayla this season have a wonderful story and dynamic. And so their relationship mirrors Ava and Deborah's because it is a working relationship. It's two people who are trying to figure out how to work together.
But it's also, once again, getting back to mirrors, in each of these relationships, there's one person who doesn't understand what boundaries are.
Yeah, that's a really great observation. It's the challenge of, how do I speak another person's language if I need to work with them and they don't exactly speak mine? And this season, we talked a lot about it being about boundaries and power and the, you know, power dynamic in a relationship. And you're exactly right that in a lot of these relationships, one person is pushing boundaries, one person is taking and not really always listening, and the other person is trying to deal with that and negotiate, like, how can I have this in my life? This person does give me things, gives me quite a lot, and yet this part of it is painful. How do I navigate that?
The first and last episodes of this season are bookends and about sort of wanting this thing and then getting this thing. I mean, they both want to rekindle the relationship, and there's some estrangement, which in that first episode made me think about parent, child, just because them being pushed apart and then coming together in this way where they both finally get what they want. And that fear comes back. I've never think I've used this phrase before. It's kind of an epic emotional comedy. And I never talked about any TV show in these terms before. And it's really satisfying.
I mean, that is really was always our intention with the show. Like, epic emotional comedy is it's a great quote. I'll quote you on it. It's, you know, that's what we wanted. We wanted a really funny, laugh out loud show, but that also speaks to like kind of these deep emotional truths. And, you know, like you're saying, like it's about getting things. It's about going for these big career goals, but then also still remaining self-aware and in touch with yourself and in touch with your emotional relationships with other people, and just how difficult that can be, you know, just how, what do you do when those things become at odds with each other? To speak to the mother-daughter thing, in one way that I think a lot of people saw that is at the end of season two, the finale, where Deborah says to Ava, like, go off on your own, go climb your own mountain and achieve your own dreams. That is very mothering, for sure. What's interesting about that moment, that always to us and some people, it's kind of this interesting experiment of how much do you see this in it or not, is to us, it also was always self-protective of Deborah. It was Deborah feeling too close to someone and pushing them away. And so it's maternal in some ways. And then in other ways, it's very sad. It's someone who is not comfortable with being that close to someone.
For me, and I wanted to ask you this kind of a last question. If when you were building out the characters, you guys are saying amongst yourselves, this has to be about somebody who doesn't know how to communicate to people that she needs them and she doesn't trust herself for needing them.
Yes, 100%. You know, one thing we talked about at the very outset of the series as we were developing the character of Deborah Vance and creating her backstory was this huge trauma surrounding her husband betraying her and going off and being with her little sister. And she lost a late night show as the result of this drama around burning her husband's house down, which we find out she didn't actually do. But basically that moment made her feel, I cannot need someone. I cannot rely on people because, well, they'll leave me. And I will lean into being alone. I will become a stand-up, literally a thing where you alone are on stage with no one else and you don't need anyone else. And that will be my armor. I will build my career and I will become incredibly rich. And then look at all my things, look at all the fancy things I own. I must be okay, right? Because I don't need people, but because I have all these things. And of course, Ava comes into her world and shakes that up and disproves that strongly. But very much so, that is a central aspect of the Deborah Vance character, is this fear of needing someone because of how hard she was betrayed so many years ago.
I hope you come back for season four. My guest is Jen Snatsky. She's an executive producer and creator and writer on the show, the award-winning show, and the well-done show Hacks, which is now on its third season on Max.
Absolutely. I'll be back.
Co-creator and executive producer Jen Snatsky has won an Emmy for her writing on Hacks, which has just started its third season streaming on Max. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.